cell part, which is a side matter that will be discussed, you know, moving forward. But I don't think that it has a significant bearing on this clause, as this clause was adopted and discussed thoroughly and agreed upon last week. I don't think that it will put either a comma or a full stop on it. But for me, we will take it and appreciate the fact that the committee had discussed it thoroughly last week and agreed on how to move forward. So the issue of the legal services unit that could maybe the litigating how part of it is something that the DG had explained, that is something that will be happening as a side matter, but we then would then need to be engaged on it further. But I don't think that on its own will have a significant bearing on the clause itself. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. If you please, Honorable Sheriff has explained it thoroughly to you, Matiko, then let's adopt it on that note that the how part, then the statement will have to look at it, working with the board and the other departments. Anyway, the SBA is part of this, but so I think it's not going to be the same. But I'm happy that we had a lengthy discussion about it. You know, we can move on.
Chair, if I may please come in.
I concur with Honorable Maseko and yourself, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Sarif. Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, it was fully at length spoken about, and I agree the how must be determined by the department working with the board. But my objection was, Chairperson, to include it as 14.1.D, which is what we agreed to as the committee. And then last week, the department came back and had removed it. And that's why you see it's not part of Section Clause 14, Subsection 1. And that's where my objection came in, was that we had added it as the committee. They then removed it. We've now had a discussion about it again. So are we saying and are we making the decision that we will, one, add it in as Section 14, Subsection 1D, or will we not add it and leave it as it is and just hope that the board and the department take our recommendation? My issue is that if we're not going to legislate it, it's not something that the board has to do, and we must be cognizant of that. So my question is, are we adding it, are we not adding it, and what are the implications thereof? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sharif.
Barbara and Gigi must ask that, and not to be so, they must ask that.
Thank you, Chair. Barbara, please come in. Chair, I think you will remember that the committee instructed the Department of Women and the legal services in the Protocol Committee and the state advisors to meet and look at the bill. And that was a result of that meeting. So that's why I say Barbara and Kashifa can then speak to that section also. I would like Barbara and Kashifa to speak to that part that has been removed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
All right,
Barbara, you may proceed. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I just want to actually indicate that what Honorable Perry and Honorable Ackerman said, I think succinctly captures why in the recommendations last week the legal committee wasn't reflected. First of all, because this is a not a service delivery committee. So every clause legally that is in the bill must be weighed up against the purpose and functions of the council. So from that perspective, you read the bill as a contextual whole. So the one part must lead to the other part. That's the first observation is every clause must be measured against the fact that this is not a service delivery council. Perhaps just to highlight in last week's discussion, and I hope I'm recollecting this correctly, there was also mention of the CTE Act that needs amendment because it is falling short on the litigation aspect where the actual responsibility to give that support should reside. So to not transfer the faults and duties of the one onto another council that isn't set up to do what the CGE is doing, but rather than not try and fix a fault in the CGE Act through this establishment legislation, because that's what this is. It's establishment legislation. It's setting up a board to do certain things. As our office highlighted, that as the legislature, the committee has the mandate to even bring a committee bill to amend the CTE for that purpose. And nothing prevents the committee from, in its oversight, to perceive that there's a litigation assistance shortage somewhere to address that. And I think what Honourable Peary also said is this is not a closed list. It's the board may establish one or more committees to assist the performance of the board's functions. So again, yeah. the back reference to the Section 5 function. What DG explained is to list a legal committee here would by implication create a misrepresentation that there will always be legal issues to be dealt with. And then that can then a snowball into people thinking there should always be a legal issues, and that would misrepresent the functions of the committee. So legally, as this clause reads currently, it doesn't exclude the possibility of a legal committee. It just empowers the board with already established normal governance structures. There's usually a management committee, a MANCO, there's usually a human resources committee, and there's usually an audit committee. Those are standard governance committees. And then everything else that the board requires in the performance of its functions, it can establish a committee for. And then to just also emphasize what Chairperson correctly stated, there is representation for the National Prosecuting Authority on this council. And seeing as the functions and purpose of this council is to coordinate and to make sure that every role player that should be taking active steps to address GBV is actually taking those steps, then that through that coordination mechanism lies the power of this council to see that those who are supposed to be in litigation context looking out for the well-being of the women of South Africa is in fact doing that. But to create the impression that this committee will be the stopgap for wherever another functionary is falling short takes the pressure off those functionaries to actually be doing their work and places a burden on this committee that or this council that it can't really meet because it is not a service delivery council. So we're in a bit of a catch-22 if we put in expressly to their a legal committee. But I think if I can ask Kashifa just to perhaps explain that better from a content perspective, I think she will be able to assist there. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Let me allow Kashifa to come in.
Thank you, Chairperson, good afternoon, members, the DG and the department. Just to talk about and Barbara, the key emphasis around the council was its purpose and function. One, provide strategic leadership, and two, around coordination. And notwithstanding the concerns that Sharif has raised and Chairperson about the need of so many victims needing support in terms of legal aid, I think if we go back to the functions of this council, members have enabled the provisions of this bill to make sure that they report to Parliament on the implementation of the NSP. Pillar 3 talks to protection, safety and justice, for which issues around providing legal support to victims is key. So I think going back to the function of the council, provide strategic leadership and coordination, if anything, this bill will ensure that the council comes back and talks to Pillar 3. And actually Parliament would have an opportunity to say, well, what's the landscape of litigation currently? Because at this moment in time, members are experiencing the cycles you have on a constituency level of how women are not being supported. But through the council and the reporting, it can be done in a coordinated manner. So over and above the four times a year, Parliament then can also call the council in and say, talk to us about Pillar 3 in terms of providing legal support to victims. And then in terms of litigation, one, legal aid, the budget has been cut. So again, Parliament has an opportunity through the council to say, what evidence is there through the monitoring and evaluation and based on the work that you're doing to show what needs to be changed, pushing for more budget for legal aid. And then in terms of the CGE, as Barbara has mentioned, nothing stops the committee from saying, from proposing an amendment to a particular act. The reason why the CGE is not litigating is because they failed to put in a submission around the Legal Practice Council. So that amendment doesn't have the provision for the CGE. And again, it's for the committee to place pressure on the CGE like we've done for the past 2 years to say, what have you done to ensure that CGE can become a space where we can come to take up issues of litigation. So I think looking at the function of the council, there's ways and means in which the concerns raised by members can be dealt with in a coherent way to, one, using the evidence that's put forward to push for where budget needs to change, and three, also to raise in a coordinated fashion what the problems are, because there's a mechanism built in the bill that says they've got to report to Parliament. Besides four times a year, where Parliament also calls on what it deemed necessary. I hope that would assist. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Kashifa. Honourable Members, I believe that we are taking note on what has been presented. Basically, we are saying that what we agreed on last week in the previous meeting, we still stand on that, and with the inputs that have been made, there will be provision made by the council to ensure that cases that are raised by women coming and wanting issues of litigation and so on, they will be given attention. How and the provision will be made in terms of how the women of this country will be assisted. I think last week we also mentioned the issue of within the appointment of the members of the council. It will be based on expertise. Besides the NPA coming into the fold as the members of the council, there will be definitely other people who have got legal expertise that will be assisting from time to time as and when issues are raised or cases are brought to the council for attention. I think we are raising most of the issues we raised last week. I will repeat that. But what Chairperson Zaba also mentioned is that we can stay with the adoption of this clause, but other issues can be dealt with as we go on dealing with this document, with the bill itself. We are not yet at this final stage, but let us adopt what we adopted last week, and then see how the input that will be coming from the from the department in the main, how to assist us going forward in this matter. I think we have broadly dealt with it in detail. Many inputs have come in again this week. So I think we are covered, or we are okay with it as it is.
now with all the inputs considered. I will hear from members whether we continue with at process.
We continue, fine. We can adopt it.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Masoto, do you want to say something?
Yes, Chair, I was adopting it with amendment.
Thank you, Honorable Masoto. Honorable Sonti. Honorable Sonti. Honorable Shengwa.
Yes, sir. Yes, Chair, I'll adopt it.
Thank you.
Yes, Chair, adopt it. I'm Sonti.
All right, honorable members, we leave it
here.
We are moving on from this process, honorable members, going to the next process, which is 15, I want to believe.
Thank you, honorable chair. So, clause 14, as amendments, then I'm going to have adopted. Thank you, honorable members. Then with clause 15, it's just a basic clarification again, following from the composition of the board in clause 4, which was the remuneration clause, that's now the reimbursement clause. As the chief executive officer is not a voting member of the board, but actually the person will be ex officio, so just there to note what is happening, because that will then flow back into the secretariat component, the staff and the chief executive officer. We just needed to clarify that because there is now only reimbursement for members of the board, that won't impact on the fact that the chief executive officer actually gets a salary, because that person functions on a different level on the day-to-day aspect of the council. So we just added in, notwithstanding the fact that this person serves on the board as an ex officio member, they will get a salary. So the chief executive officer is not to be seen in the group of the board that actually gets reimbursement instead of remuneration. So that's a consequential clarification, Chair, that's up for consideration by the members.
Thank you, Barbara. Can we hear honourable members?
I didn't hear what Barbara was explaining. Which clause was he talking to?
15, Chairperson.
What was he saying?
It's a consequential amendment from our correction of the remuneration being a reimbursement for the board members. But because the chief executive officer in terms of clause 6 is actually a member of the board, albeit that person is not a voting member, we just needed to make a consequential amendment in clause 15 to make sure that reimbursement doesn't affect the fact that as a day-to-day operational officer, this person isn't prevented from getting a salary, because they're not really a voting member of the board. They're more as a presence to have a link between the board and the secretariat component of the council. I hope that assists you.
Yeah. Okay, no, it's fine. It's okay.
Thank you, Chair. Then without any further comments from the members, we'll note clause 15 as supported. Then in clause 16, Chairperson, it's just one of the consequential amendments where we now aren't specifically just saying the national, or we're saying general national strategy to address gender-based violence and femicide. So just as a knock-on effect to that adopted definition, that broader definition, we just had a consequential amendment in clause 16 to include that instead of the national strategic plan. And that thing is clause 16 up for consideration with proposed amendments, Chair.
So as long as in list A, and list B is the same.
We are fine.
Yes, Chair. Yes. Thank you, Chair. Then, Chair, the same goes for Clause 17, that is a similar a change that was the reference to the national strategy to address gender-based violence and femicide, Chair. That is there and also there. It is specifically, I can point to this, to 17.3a is where that consequential amendment is. That is then the only, that, and we had a day-to-day there. That's just a technical amendment. We needed dashes in between the day-to-day, and those are the only two technical and consequential amendments in Clause 17 up for consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, I think it would be from my side to agree, Barbara, because we dealt with this, but I would like to give members to you also their side. Honorable Sharif.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope that I am audible. I wanted to just check where in the world does it state that the secretariat, who the secretariat has to report to in terms of the work that they're doing. Thank you, Chair.
Isn't it me? Honorable Sharif, because A says
appoint and supervise the secretariat. Barbara, can you just move up a little bit? It's a
yeah.
One more clause. Yeah.
Barbara.
Okay, I got it. I see. Thank you, Barbara. Honorable member.
So
Chair,
is it Honorable Sharif?
I'm covered, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's 1 over 10. Yeah, it's 10.
Thank you, Honorable member. So I have to 16 and clause 17 then with those consequentials noted as supported. Honourable members, in clause 18 it's also just a technical a grammatical change. We've added dashes today to day just for the purpose of getting the grammar correctly there. That's the only amendment that we're proposing to clause 18 up for consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Which are those grammatical errors? So that you highlight them, and when is this the day to day?
Yes, Chair. So, that's the only one that we're correcting in clause 18. Sorry, my pardon.
Okay.
I thank you. Want to be clear, covered on that one, Honourable Santi. Honorable Shengwa?
Hey,
are you?
Chair.
Yes, Honorable.
Yes, Honorable Santi. I'm fine,
Chair. Thank you. We can move, Barbara.
Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Also me.
Honorable Sharif.
Just a quick one. Under 4B, it only speaks about the payment of remuneration to the CEO and the secretariat. It's not, do we not need to add the reimbursements here as well, or is it already covered? Thank you.
Tell her to move it up. Barbara, move it up. You are reading where, by the way, Sharif?
Funds of council, Chair. Just because it speaks about the remuneration, the CEO and the secretariat, but it doesn't speak about the reimbursement of board, even though there is a section here. I just wanted to see, because it's speaking of the funds of council and not necessarily just the funds of the secretariat, I just wanted to see if it should be added there, but if not, then that's also okay. I'm sure.
But there's a way to say 10-1, you see reimbursement of members, there is a, in the case of members of the civil society and private sector, be paid a reimbursement and allowances determined by the minister in consultation with the Minister of Finance.
Mm-hmm. Chair, now if you go to clause 18, which is the funds of the council, 4B, it only speaks about the secretariat. I just want to make sure that that's correct.
Yeah, and maybe we need also to check in A this.
Perhaps the department can advise if chair and the committee would like to cover the cost in connection with the day-to-day, the performance and duties, and if we can perhaps have a sub-3 here with cross-reference to clause 10, but I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of the department as to what the functional implications of that proposal would be, so perhaps they could advise if Honourable Shirley's concern for that connection could be addressed there. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
I'm not sure I understand what is the challenge. Maybe if Honourable Sharif can repeat what you are saying. I was listening, but I'm not sure what is the challenge.
Chair, through you, there is no challenge. Not everything I say is the fight. DG, what I'm saying is this clause 18 speaks to the funds of council. So it speaks about how money is obtained and how money should be spent, correct? If you look at a subsection 4, it says the board must utilize the funds to cover the costs of day-to-day and the administration and the performance of duties and functions of the council and the exercise, okay, and for, and B, payment of remuneration. Remember, we in the beginning, we spoke about, well, who we're remunerating, we're remunerating the secretariat, but we are reimbursing the board. Allowances and travelling expenses of the members, the CEO and the secretariat. Now, my question is, in terms of subsection 4, the board must utilise the funds. Shouldn't we add, just like Barbara, and I agree with Barbara's suggestion, a subtext to say, to read in conjunction with the reimbursement of board members, just for consistency? Because if we're going to speak about how funds are spent, we must also speak about the reimbursement, because that is one way that funds will be spent. It's just a matter of consistency. Thank you.
Noted, Honourable Sharif. I think we are okay with that one. If there's any other input from members, or are you clear that these are members with you?
I wanted to ask a question, because subsection 2 says the performance of the duties and functions of the council and exercise of its powers in terms of this act. I thought this is where the reinvestment will be coming in, when they are performing, because they will be reinvest when they perform the functions, when they have to travel, they have to come to the meetings and all those. So I'm not sure whether we need a subsection 3 or whether this one is not sufficient.
No, she was saying for consistency purposes.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
No. I hear it. I'm not arguing. I'm trying to understand.
Oh, okay.
How far are we regarding this document? There's less work that needs to be done.
Yes, Chair, we're almost done. These are the last final amendments that I am presenting to the committee.
Okay.
We can proceed, I believe, so, Barbara.
So that yes, I can go to the meeting, but I support everything.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with what the DJ said. In terms of interpretation, I think we'll be covered by in terms of this act. So members, would it be in order to just approve the clause 18 with that technical amendment of day to day? Can I regard that as supported?
Yeah, it's supported.
Yes, Chair, supported.
I understand what the DG is saying. All good?
Thank you, Chair. Support.
If that's supported, Barbara, we may proceed to the next.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Then, the Chair, through you to the members, the amendment here reflected was that the members wanted a maintenance change to must. And that is where highlighted in 19.3 that must is then amended or is then as per an instruction of the committee to put that obligatory must the chairperson in clause 19 up for consideration by the members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Barbara. Honourable members, if you have any comments?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, clause 20 and 21 has no amendments proposed. So clause 20 with regard to the audit annual and financial report and clause 21 with regard to the use of the name of the council is clauses as changed in the bill up for consideration by the members.
Thank you, Barbara. I think we are covered on this one, but just to be sure, honorable members.
And make sure that A and B list, they are the same.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks, Barbara. We may move to the next.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next one is up for consideration is clause 22. There are no proposed amendments to clause 22, and that is then up for consideration by the committee as per the table vote. Thank you, Chair.
Supported.
No, noted. We're supporting that as per also discussions last week. I don't think there's a problem with that one. We can move further.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, clause 23 is just a delegation. Clause the empowering provision to allow the minister to put in place certain steps as further the implementation of the act. So it's basically to give the minister the power to, as and when required, take certain steps to make this bill once legislation implementable. So that's a standard delegation clause, and we aren't proposing any change to that. That's up for the consideration of the committees as per the table bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
All good. Honourable Masuko, Honourable Sharif.
Agreed.
Masuko.
Honourable
Thank you, Honourable Thierry, all of us, yeah, we are agreeing. Move to the next
one.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The following, the delegation clause is a regulation clause, which is clause 24. There we have just amended, so there's certain references taken out to align the regulations now that the minister may put in place with the function and obligation changes that flow down from above. So participation, we have taken out in the initial bill as tabled. It said the minister may, after receipt of recommendations of the council, make regulations to participation by civil society in the nomination process of the board members. That's taken out because civil society will now serve on the board, yes, but there's also a process then when Parliament makes the nominations for inputs to come in. So that the fact that Parliament has the nominations role now is there. And then another one that was taken out was norms and standards for coordination for the provincial and local structures. If one looks at Clause 22, that's already made provision for through the chair. So these are just the adjustments made to 24 is functional one in light of everything that we have discussed in the bill throughout here. So that is Clause 24 up for consideration with amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Barbara. Noted. I believe it's in line with our discussion. Members, are we agreeing to this clause?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair. Chair.
Yes.
Noted, honourable members.
Yes,
yeah.
Chair.
Thank you much for thank you much for your noted. Thanks. It's okay, Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. That is then all that we require from the committee. Apart from, I can just mention in clause 25 that 2022 will automatically turn over to 2023 when the bill is officially processed and becomes legislation. So we don't have to note that date change in the A-list. And the final clause is then the short title at the commencement of the bill, and if the members are happy with clause 25, then that is the conclusion of the clause by clause presentation because there's no proposed changes to 25 in the A list. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Barbara. We agree to that. Thank you, Barbara. Can I hand over to Chair to do the
final? Should
I close the meeting?
Yeah, you can close the meeting. Oh. I can go out of the meeting now.
Okay,
thank you very much, honourable members. Bye.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much. Good luck with your next meeting.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I want to check...
Thank you.
Honourable members, I want to believe that was the only item that we were to deal with today. There's no other business besides what we have just done, dealt with today. Neliswa or... They are not there.
No, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Honourable Chairman and Member.
Okay.
We were supposed to, after... supposed to adopt the A list and the B bill. I'm not sure now with some changes that have been made if members will adopt it with amendment. And also we're supposed to adopt the report. But then I think the committee agreed that Barbara will do all the changes and send it to members once they agree. Once they agree to those amendments, then we can have maybe in one extra meeting to adopt the report. And just to ensure that all the clauses and all the amendments that are made to the clauses are captured in the final report. And the last item was the leadership of the 19th of September. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Neliswa. Now, honourable members, that is the item where we are at in terms of adopting both lists. Let me hear from yourself before moving on to the next item.
Honourable Chair.
Let me note Honourable Sharif and Honourable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Chair. From my side, I think let's go with what Honourable Ndaba has proposed, that Barbara will send through all the changes that she will make. And Eliswa will follow up with us, and then we take it from there because there is quite a lot of changes that need to be done.
So that would be my proposal, but I'm willing to engage on what other members have said. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sharif, Honourable Masiko.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Mine would be in support of what Honourable Chair Sharif has just proposed. I think, as she has said, Chair, it would be proper for us to deal thoroughly with the changes as there's been several stages. And then support what Nelizwa has said, that we'll just have a short meeting to properly adopt once the changes or amendments have been circulated and members have had an opportunity to read through. I don't think it will be a long process, because once the amended document has been circulated, members will have to go through and check the amendments as they have made them in this meeting. So that short meeting would simply be to adopt and not really go through the tedious process that we've been through. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Secondly, Honourable Chair,
thank you, Honourable Members. With that note, we are done with the item for the input that has been made today. The AE and BDs we are adopting with amendments, as per member, as what members are saying. So we will have a meeting where we'll deal with everything, all the amendments that were made today. I mean, it won't be like a sauce to sauce like today. But thank you, members, for that, for all the input that have been made here. Remember, this bill, we've been busy with it for some time now, and I don't think we want to rush and do things. It's good that all members were afforded opportunity to make input, so that at the end we are all taking ownership of this bill. So we will await the date for the next meeting to deal with the amendments that were made in today's meeting. Thank you very much, members. The input, they have been moved and seconded to... they were moved and seconded, yeah. Anyone want to say something, Mark, on this?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think this is the second coming meeting. It will be the first meeting telling us or showing us that those corrections, in fact, those additions. Otherwise, everything, we are together, we are on the same water. So even if I'm not available, I'm agree with you, members, in everything, because now we agree in everything on this thing. Because maybe it will be the meeting, maybe I'll be not available and present from that meeting, I'm not sure. But I'm just saying that if I'm not, I'm with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ma'am Sonti. I think the date will be made available, and those who will not be able to attend will indicate formally so to Nelizwa, and like we normally do. So those who will be attending will be attending. So I think, thanks, Mama, for your input. We take note that we are together in this year. No, thank you, Honourable Members. Nelizwa, you mentioned about the minutes of last week.
Yes, Honourable Chairperson, I will slide it now.
Slide them, please, yeah.
Can we be excused, Chair? Or do we have to begin?
It's fine, thank you. If you want to leave, it's fine. You are excused. But if you don't have a problem like last week, you can sit if you have time. But if it's okay. But let me know, thank you for your...
No, right, please. Madam. I thought maybe it's a private meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Those are the minutes of the 19th of September. As I've slided.
Okay, thank you, Nelly. The first page there is members. Can we move if there's nothing to be corrected or... We note the attendance, it said attendance, those who were there and those who were not there. You can move. You can move, Nelly. There's the introduction. You can move. You can move, Melissa. Okay. On the deliberation. You can move, Melissa. That's the last page, I want to believe. Those are the minutes, honorable members of the last week's meeting. Can we have a move and a seconder? I know they were circulated to all of us. Honorable Masondo and Honorable Sharif will follow.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move that we adopt the minutes of the last meeting, a true reflection not transpired in that meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Sharif?
I second the minutes of the meeting as a true reflection of what happened. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. So, the minutes have been moved and seconded. Thank you so much. I believe we are done with this, Honorable Ms. Nelly.
Yes,
I believe we are done. Those were the only set of minutes that we had. We don't have others. So that's bring us to the end of the meeting, I believe. Honorable members, unless if there are any announcements from your side, Nelissa?
No, I don't have any announcements.
Long live the chair.
I will.
Thank you.
Long live the chair. Long live the chair.
Thank you, chair. I thought Nelly would tell us where the lunch is. Honorable members, so there's no lunch.
You can make tea in your house.
Honorable members, thank you so much. The meeting is closed. Have a nice day, Feather. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you,
Jay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jay. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.